We rise. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. All scripture has been written for our learning. We turn our attention today to the Apostle Paul's second letter to a pastor named Timothy. This letter strikes a personal note. We know at the time Paul's writing this, he's imprisoned in Rome, as we'll hear in our text, in chains. And so we read from chapter 2 those God-breathed farewell words of Paul as he indeed writes his last letter. From 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is God's word. We pray, O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, is it all worth it? Maybe these words have been your words. Maybe these words were the words of Naomi and Ruth in our scripture reading. How long must I wrestle with these thoughts, these kids, this job, this sickness, this persecution? How long must I wrestle with my own sinful flesh? In the words of the psalmist David, how long, O Lord, how long? The French have a word for it, esprit de corps. In English, we call it morale, the spirit of the body. What drives a group of people to face suffering? Is this a cause is really worth suffering for? There's several reasons why low morale would creep into a soldier's mindset. One reason might be that he doesn't trust his leader. Another reason might be that he doesn't see the strategy being used. He thinks it's doomed. And another reason, a third reason, might be that the people he's serving with or the people he's serving for really aren't worth suffering for. He doesn't see the progress and the end goal being worth it. Whatever the case, an army that doesn't believe in its cause is bound to fail. The question which the Holy Spirit would have us ask, and which he himself would answer today, is this cause of the gospel mission really worth it? We return to one of those reasons that a soldier would become displacing. a low morale. It could be that he doesn't trust the leadership of the one who's enlisted him. It could be that this leader who enlisted him is corrupt. He's not worth following. You don't respect him. He's the type of guy who abandons the ship and leaves the crew for dead. He takes the last lifeboat to save his own skin. Is this the God who speaks to us? Is this the God who enlisted you? Let's think about what led Peter to the tragic point of defection. You'll recall in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the night when our Lord died, Peter stood bold. He was confident. At least in his mind, he thought he could do this. If all should stumble, I, Lord, will not. Even if I should have to die, I will not deny you. Peter was walking the plank of pride. He was going out on a limb. And do you see where his morale was coming from? It was coming from himself, his own commitment, his ability to overcome difficulties. His esprit de corps was bound to fail. It was found within. Who was it that actually abandoned the ship? Who was it that said, I don't know the man? And who was it that went on to die? Are you and I so much different? When things are good, we think we could do anything. A nice cushion in the bank account. The kids are healthy. I'm fit as a fiddle. The job is secure. Do you see how we've become entangled in the affairs of this life? As one translation puts it, civilian pursuits. Do you see how our confidence and our happiness are not resting in what our Lord's accomplishing, but in what I'm able to accomplish and how good things look? And suddenly, tragedy strikes. That job that we were so sure about is gone. Those kids that were doing so well become gravely sick. Our morale is zapped. Our morale has become so entangled in the affairs of this life that sin has twisted it, changed it, made the circumstances look unbearable, and we wonder if it's all really worth it. Verse 12 says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. We've really forgotten who enlisted us, who created us, who saved us. What was it that kept Ruth and Naomi going to face the next part of their journey? They remembered their Lord. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This was Ruth's esprit de corps. This is our morale. Remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. When Peter denied him and he went on, every step, every sorrow, every struggle, he was of the seed of David. He was a human being. He suffered and knew the sufferings that you and I experience. And he knew it all the way to the cross. In fact, he knew it beyond what any of you or I have ever experienced. Not just the uncertainty of a lost job, not just a child who you're wondering if he's going to make it. He felt the loss of God himself. He died for your sins. But this was God's faithfulness in the midst of our unfaithfulness. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. On the cross, God entangled himself with our twisted sins, our guilt, our bad circumstances, and he proved that this was a cause worth suffering for. He proved that you were a cause worth dying for. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that Jesus is alive, that he's not abandoned to the grave, that he has risen from death, and he lives in your life. every suffering, every trial, assuring you that your sins are forgiven. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The one who enlisted you is faithful. A second reason a soldier might feel his cause is doomed is because he's convinced the strategy is doomed. He doesn't see progress being made. It's stagnant. Should he give up? As the Apostle Paul dictates these words, a Roman soldier walks by his door. He's a captive. In fact, he's on death's row. He writes later on, "The time of my departure is at hand." What death awaits him? Is it the lions in the Colosseum? Is it being tied to a post and burned to death? Is it being crucified? Perhaps it slips into Paul's thinking, is this really worth it? What good comes from all this? What will happen after I'm gone? The leader of the church. What will happen to this gospel ministry entrusted to a young pastor like Timothy? But he recognizes God's cause does not rest in him. Even though he is chained, the word of God is not chained. You might feel there's many limitations in your own life. Many limitations that keep you from telling somebody else about the hope that is in you, about Jesus. Maybe you wonder what the ramifications will be. The risk of saying something wrong. The risk of a question you don't know how to answer, the risk of a reaction that you're not ready for. Well, in Paul's case, the risk was much greater, to the point of chains. And even after all that, we can spend countless hours on evangelism, in outreach meetings, sending out pamphlets, holding seminars, inviting people to church, and even risking our own reputation, our own friends, and we can see no results. God had to remind his people through Isaiah that his word is not chained. He writes through the prophet Isaiah, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. For as rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void." Our esprit de corps is driven by this concept that hidden away in this cause of the gospel, hidden ground is being gained. The chains that held Paul behind locked doors could not restrain what God was accomplishing. Right on into Pastor Timothy's ministry, right on into your pastor's ministry, and right on into your life. The gospel is unbounded. It goes forth from God's mouth. It fills your hope and heart. It touches your tongue, and it echoes in your actions. It is a cause worth suffering for. Yet a third reason we might consider for a soldier's depleted morale. He's lost sight of the end goal. He's lost sight of the people, the cause that he's serving, the people who are serving along next to him. Is it worth it? That's the real question, but not just is it worth it, will this mission reach its intended goal? We read in verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." This is the mission of the gospel. The elect, the chosen, obtaining what God has won for them by giving up his only son on the cross. It is the intended goal. To be elect is to be chosen. We read of this in Ephesians chapter 1. That he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world according to the riches of His grace. Maybe you've lost sight of that end goal because you too are not seeing the progress. Maybe you don't see it going anywhere in your life. Your marriage is a daily lesson in miscommunication. Some addiction, some sinful habit will not let go of it. Anger flares up, frustration because you face a problem you can't solve, and you're bombarded by the chains of responsibility. Kids, home, work, you name it. It's shackled you. Rather than heading toward God's goal, it seems you don't know where you're heading, except where your boss tells you, where your spouse tells you, where the demands tell you. We return to verse 1. Be strong in His grace. If God's eternal goal, if God's election, rested in how your life looked, in how far you're getting with your Christian progress, we would have good reason to give up. We could never do it. Our daily backsliding would prevent us from ever making progress. We could never unshackle the chains that are around us. And that is why God has come to you with a word that is unchained, a grace that it drives you, unrestrained, to meet its destined goal, not in anything you do or could ever hope to do, but all according to the riches of His choice, His election. Be strong in His grace. To be among the elect is not to be complacent, and it's not to go to despair. It's to suffer. It's to struggle. It's to pray. It's to be confused. It's to ask questions. It's to find the answers. It's to repent, and it's to trust. It's to join Ruth and Naomi on that journey, that next step that the Lord lays in front of you, remembering God is faithful. It's the words of the hymn we're about to sing, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Our esprit de corps. The spirit of the body. For this body has been filled with His spirit. By the cross that goes on before, this is your morale boost, a cause worth suffering for as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because the God who enlisted you is faithful, because the word of the gospel is unbounded, and because the elect, you, will obtain salvation by His grace. Amen.